This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, I've got Joy O'Connor and Dennis Dick with me this morning. You know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about earnings. We are in the thick of it now. We had Microsoft last night, Alphabet last night. Today, we've got Facebook, just to name the biggest ones, but there's like several hundred companies reporting earnings between yesterday and today. So a lot to get to on that front. We'll cover as many earnings reports as we can. Rob Friesen from Stock Odds will join us today at 8:35. He is our guest. He's also Dennis's boss, fun fact. So if you have any questions about Dennis as an employee, save him for 8:35. That's going to be the show. We'll try to take as many questions from the chat as we can as well. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Richard, Riff Raff, Miss Whitehorse. Who else do we got here? Johan, Dino, Chris. How y'all doing? Martin, PJ, what's up? What's up? What's up? Smash that like button for me. Let's get the show on the road.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel O'Connor.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
We are now joined by Joel Conan. Joel, good morning. And there's Dennis. Let's bring him on too. What's up? What's up? How are we doing?
The market's up. They're up 20 handles, 41.90.50. We're up. I mean, that's the only thing I can say, rough for now. Crude's down 12 cents, 101.58. Gold finding a home, trying to find support here at 1900, but it's down $1.50, 1902.60. Silver can't get over 24 yet, up 18.6, 23.73. Bitcoin took a hit, but likes 38K once again, up 860, 39,080. Ethereum, that's going up too, just kind of quiet. That finally supported 2,800, up 55.50 at 28.92. Dennis, I know exactly what this market needs to do today.
What? I don't know what it needs to do, so please enlighten me.
We need to have an inside day. We need to calm down.
Inside. I never go outside, Joel.
Yeah. We need a quiet day. We need to hold the low. I don't know what you want to consider the low. Yesterday, the after hours blitzkrieg, or you know, the regular session low. I include the after hour trading.
I do too.
Yeah, because it's there, man. It trades the price. I don't even want a big rally. I don't even want to go up and take out the pre-market high and just go right back to four. I don't want that. I want the market to calm down, get some footing in here, build a little base, and then go up. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what the market needs today.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either, but I think we just absolutely need to hold the lows, the February lows. We know 410.64 on the SPY. So far, so good, but the QQQs took it out on Friday. We made new lows, not on Friday, yesterday. We made new lows. I don't know. We bounced back. So anyways, there's two stocks moving in opposite directions that are dictating the course of today's action. Spencer Israel.
Well, before he does that, I just want to show the IWM. You alerted me to that. You know, when the spoos are moving like they are off the big reports, you said you like to, and that's a good point. Look at that thing.
Holy, and it made new lows too.
Yeah.
Just barely yesterday. Yeah. Just barely. We made a new low by about 40 cents. But it doesn't look healthy. Like, you look at that bottom right chart, and you're like, it looks like it's ready to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
And, and who am I to argue with the cliff divers there? So I don't know.
I mean,
I'm out until 160-ish on IWM, which would be an epic disaster because that would be another 15% down from here. So I don't know. I guess support is support until it's broken. But man, that support looks like it looks like the Tesla support. That does not look kind of look like what Tesla looked like just going to before yesterday.
Do you ever watch
Tesla? Bring up Tesla now.
I will.
You know, when you hang out near the support level for too long, eventually you take it out. And this is what obviously happened yesterday. Major support breach by a very wide margin. Obviously, the catalyst was the Twitter deal for Elon Musk and worries that Tesla stock is collateralized. Musk might be bringing, you know, Musk might be a little bit tighter for his time with Tesla, all those things playing into that. But that was an epic disaster yesterday. And that was one of the main reasons for the overall market fall, especially on the tech stocks. But bring it back to the two tech stocks that actually matter today.
What? Yeah, Google and Microsoft.
You ever watch the Acapulco cliff diving? Do you ever watch that?
No, it sounds like fun.
Oh, on TV, Spencer, do you ever watch that?
No, I can't say
this is a quick true story, and it's not going to upset anybody.
Joel's cliff dive before.
You know, this is appropriate because today is National Storytelling Day, so you have that, Joel.
So I'm watching it, you know, watching a little TV with Lisa. This is a couple years ago, and boom, Wide World of Sports. I don't know if that's still around. They have on the Acapulco cliff diving, right? And a guy gets up there to dive. I know him. I know Todd Michaels. His dad was a great swim coach, not in Monroe, but in Erie, pretty big rival. His brother, I believe, is the coach of the Australian national diving team, and they were great divers. And Todd Michaels was in there jumping off a cliff. So I knew someone in the and Lisa's like, you got to be kidding me.
I just worry like that you just miscalculate a little bit there and either go flat or break your back. It just sounds kind of scary. So I'm not into cliff diving, which is why I'm not participating in that IWM long here right now.
Sorry. Right. Sorry, tangent. No more tangents, Spencer. No, it's good for the rest of the show.
It's okay. Let's start.
We only had one message retracted on your cliff diving story, so I didn't get to see it. But
I don't know what was that.
What was it?
I don't know. Daniel Padilla retracted his own message, so I.
No harm, no foul.
Let's go to Alphabet here. That's the call that I listened to yesterday. Honestly, it was a fine report. Okay, was it a blowout? No. But it was it mixed? Yeah. But it definitely wasn't a horrible. Like, it was nowhere near Netflix territory in terms of bad. Their EPS did come in a little bit light, $24.64 versus a $25.91 estimate. The revenue also just a little bit light, right? 68.01 versus $68.11 billion. Cloud revenue came in above estimates. The big miss that people are keying on seems to be YouTube. Their YouTube ad revenue came in below $7 billion. Estimate was at $7.5 billion for that. So YouTube revenue missed, but cloud is okay. There's so many numbers here always with Alphabet because they're in so many damn businesses. But honestly, it was a fine report. Was it amazing? No. Was it terrible? Also, no. It was right there in the middle. It was okay.
I'm still long. I'm staying long. Yeah. But obviously been long this stock since $250. So I'm not going to sell it here.
Sorry, I forgot about the buyback, the $70 billion.
Yeah. So they come out, they slightly miss, and then they do the old buyback trick. It's like, well, let's, you know, help her cause here a little bit. We'll do a buyback for the crappy numbers. So we give you a little silver lining there. I mean, this market doesn't care about silver linings anymore. Before it did, now it doesn't. The split's still coming up. I don't know. Like, I mean, again, is it Google the kind of stock I want to own? Well, I do own it. So, and I'm not selling it. But, you know, does it have a date with 2000 eventually? I think so. So I'm talking against my book here. But I think eventually it could see 2000. It's the kind of market that, you know, there's just not much in here, Joel. I mean, go to the levels here.
It's not.
If you want to be a hero, Let's say this is it. Maybe it bounces back. It's a great company. If you're buying it for 10 years from now, I think you make money. But do I think you get it cheaper? I think you do.
Yeah, I mean, you had that. We talked about this. Had that just closed week. I think one thing, I think it was just kind of a little victim, too, of just like the market, right? It was like, you know, where we sold off a big reversal day and then we were just moving around. I mean, it probably hit the spoos, but I just think people were just nervous. So that's why they slammed it down here. Pre-market low, I can't put a ton of significance in it, but it's 22 and a quarter. Maybe put a buy stop at like 2400 and say, hey, this shows strength. I'm buying it. But those three daily lows, that's going to be some major resistance. You're breaking maybe before 2K, 2230 and a quarter. That didn't quite come in this morning. So that's your next monthly low. That's all I'm going to focus on for now. 2230 and a quarter. And resistance will be the bottom of yesterday's range. I don't think we're going to see 2383, 24.
The upcoming split could help. And I mean, we have got run-ups, but we've got a lot of splits on the table. Amazon, Google, yeah. The other ones. And they haven't been helping their causes here whatsoever. So, you know, even Shopify announced a split. And I mean, they might have to pull that if the stock keeps going down. I don't know. What wasn't Shopify like 10, 1 for 10 or something, or 10 for 1?
They missed the boat. They missed the boat on
they
that
all
trick.
Did. Really? Yeah,
they missed the boat.
Tesla's timing impeccable once again. Tesla Apple. Got all the benefit of the stock split. But we're in this bear market. Don't kid yourself. You're in a bear market right now. This is what it feels like. You know why? Because your longs are losing money. So, I mean, this is the market that we're in here right now. You don't have to question whether, oh, the SPY isn't officially in a bear market because it's down 13% and the number's 20. That's stupid. Somebody just came up with that on their own. Oh, a bear market is down 20%. Correction is down 10%. That's just dumb. You know what kind of market you're in. You can feel the kind of market. So, you know, it's been in a bear market for a long time, a lot of these growth stocks. Some stocks are always in bull markets too. Not all stocks are in bear markets.
Not many.
We're not many now. And they've been hitting the leaders, and that's been the turn here. We'll go to Microsoft in a second, but you know, look at Halliburton. Look at the oil stocks. Look at FCX, Joel. Did you see this? Talk about from bliss to piss. I mean, Alcoa, same thing. These stocks were hanging out near the highs, near the 52-week highs a week ago. And that stock, in the last five trading sessions, has lost over 20%. I mean, if you're hiding in commodity stocks, you're starting to get hit there too. So that's what a bear market feels like when there's no place to hide. And that's what's coming. Staples starting to get hit. Those crowded trades that we've been talking about on this show ad nauseum for like months here. Wrong, because they've continued to go higher. The crowded trades are starting to come off a little bit though. So people keep asking, what are you buying? What are you buying? What are you buying? I bought a little bit of Disney in the long-term portfolio yesterday. It brought me from 53% cash. Yes, you know, I was 52% cash, but I went to 53% cash because the 48% of stocks that I had fell 1%. So that's bringing up my cash component there. So it wasn't that I sold anything more. My cash just went up because my stock's going down. My cash is staying steady. But I decided to bring it down, so I added my Disney for the third time. Ooh, brought my cost basis down. Never proud, average down. Right out of the playbook of Kathy Wood. But I believe in Disney. It is now one of the bigger positions in my portfolio. It's above a normal size position.
Me too.
Started as a half size, then went to a full size. Now it's like a size and a half. Am I down in it? Absolutely. Has my timing been wrong? Absolutely. Do I believe that Disney House of Mouse is going to, you know, be around here in 5 to 10 years and higher? Yes, I do. And that's why I nibble on a little bit more Disney. But I'm still sitting at 50.2% cash. So not that excited. And everything that I've bought has been the wrong decision.
All right. Well, Disney's 4% for me, and that's enough. So I would not be adding more.
You're in Disney? It's 4% of your portfolio?
Yes. And I would, that's enough.
I think it's 6 of mine.
That's
Spencer.
Large enough. I don't need
to. I think it's about, I never get, when they get up to Disney. 10 like Apple, I start getting nervous.
You might have to disclose it soon, Dennis.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Don't need more of that. Anyway, let's go to Microsoft here. I swear I had deja vu this morning. Because if you can, I know it might be hard, but if you can think back to last quarter,
yep,
and Microsoft's earnings report, and the reaction that the stock had to it, it dropped on the earnings report, and then they gave guidance on the call, and everyone was like, whoa, that was like the best guidance ever. Psh, mind blown. Well, they did the exact same thing yesterday. The stock dropped. The PR came out. The PR says, we're going to give guidance on the call. The stock drops. The call starts. They give guidance about their cloud. The stock rallies all the way back. So it's the same exact playbook from January.
I wish I would have known that playbook yesterday. Because I could have played that playbook.
You don't remember that, Dennis?
No, unfortunately, I didn't remember that. You know what? Microsoft I'll fast forward for you. Conference call
what happened ago. After that?
What happened after that?
The stock's gotten killed.
Yeah.
Did they get killed?
The stock, yeah. The stock.
Take the money and run.
Yep.
I'm long Microsoft, too. Man, I'm long a lot of stocks. Long Google. Long Microsoft. Yeah, that's okay. Long Disney. I'm just long everything. But these long-term portfolio. I'm probably holding on to my Microsoft. I don't know.
Anyway.
Should I sell it? I don't know. Probably.
The bottom line on Microsoft was their cloud guidance, that the guidance they gave during the call, the guidance for the current quarter was good. They're guiding like 46% year-over-year growth, which is right in line, I think, with where the market was. And frankly, if anything that's not a miss is a massive victory in this environment. So the cloud guidance is strong, but I am also interested to see and to note that Microsoft, the last time it did this in January, it popped. And then what happened in the days and the weeks after that,
it was
able to hold. So great observation, Joel.
I got one number.
What do you got?
281.11.
Why?
I'm going to forget that pre-market high. Because 281.11 was your high on Monday. And that was Monday's high. So you're right here. You're hanging out at 280.50. If they really, if they want to run this thing, it's going to be a great, it's going to be a great day for Mr. Softy. They'll take. I would be very careful here. I'd look at 81.11, and if it holds that, maybe we get some of this ground back. But I think that's important level. That's what I'm giving it. It's pretty close to here too. So it doesn't clear that, hold that. I think you got some work to do on the downside.
Props to Steve Grosso and Guy Adami on Fast Money last night. The stock Disney was trading 265, and they both said on Fast Money that this stock is going to be green by the end of the show. When they said that, it's amazing the influence. The stock bounced $4 and went green. They said that, and it literally went up. And then the conference call happened, and then it really blasted off. So props to Steve Grosso, though. Fantastic call. He was absolutely correct, even though obviously a little bit to do with the bounce was him. But I mean, it was the conference call that really made the stock take off. So good anticipation there. I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm long Microsoft. I'm long Google. I've been in these stocks for a long time. I'm Google for a decade. I've been Microsoft. That's the only stock that I bought in March of 2020. Obviously should have bought a lot more stocks then. I'm sticking with it. One, I don't want to pay the tax. But two, you got to own something. I mean, I look at my portfolio, and maybe this is a good exercise, to tell you what is in my portfolio, but I kind of like all the stocks in my portfolio. So it's 50% cash. Do we want to do this?
Sure. Go for it.
I mean, you got a second here now and people have asked for this for a long time, but I'm bringing it up here right now. I got to log in. I'm not saying I don't log into my long-term account. So go and log into the
All right. Well, while you do account. That, my tax, yep. my taxable account is 8% cash.
I'd have a few more. I'd be very uncomfortable. But you're young, so you're a young buck. So I guess it's okay. I just like dry powder in this market.
I have 8%.
I don't consider 8% dry powder. But anyways, you have a little bit of dry powder.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. So
a little bit.
Okay. So I'm sitting with AbbVie. It's 5%. I'm sitting with Apple, which is still 8.5%, even though I sold part of it, but it just grew so much. I'm sitting with Biogen. I'm sitting with the Qs, which is the biggest portion, which I'm never selling those Qs because my average cost basis is $46.53. I'm up 761%, and so I'm definitely not selling those Qs. Bought those back in the financial crisis. I'm sitting with a EWJ ETF, which has been kind of not great, but I'm up in it. I'm still up in it because I bought it like 10 years ago, but it's definitely been an underperformer.
Ooh.
Sitting with LHX, which is L3Harris. We all know that one. I'm up 826% in that one. sent with Marvel Technology, which has not been that great as of late, but I'm still setting up with them. I'm sent with MasterCard, which we know I sold 2/3 of my MasterCard position, but I'm not selling the rest of it probably. I'm sent with Merck, Microsoft, Nucor still, Pfizer, SunPower. I'm still up in it, but Take-Two, Interactive. And then if I go into my other long-term account, there's two of them. Sent with some dogs in this one. So that's the good stories. And then I got my long-term, I got AMD, dog.
You still got that thing?
AMD's been AMD, a dog yeah. for it's been I a bought dog in the for, long-term account, Joel.
It's been a dog for a couple of months.
It's been for 2 months. It's been long-term.
I
got dog Ballard Power. I sold half of it. Should have sold it all. Canadian company. Talked into it. Horrible. Bag holding Bombardier for like ever. I should get rid of that thing too.
What's the symbol on that one?
BBD.B in Canada. That's a dog of all dogs. I'm sitting with like on this account, like half of them are dogs. Like dogs. Like bow,
is that,
wow,
is
wow.
that Laura's account?
Yeah. CAE is a Canadian company. A lot of Canadian companies because Canadian money, right? So CAE, not the CAE US. It's C. Oh man, I don't even remember what it is. In the US, I think it does trade. Maybe it is CAE. Maybe it's the same company. Yeah, it is CAE. I think. Same with CAE, Cameco, which is a newer one, and I've actually tried to sell it a couple times here, and I think I've been stuck. I think I'm caught in this thing now. I'm gonna have to sell that. Ethereum. I have a small piece of Ethereum left, very small. That's an ETF. That's why I can hold it in my registered account. CIBC's Canadian Bank, CM. The Coinbase, the small half-size position of Coinbase was a terrible buy.
That hurts.
Terrible.
That hurts.
That's literally 1% of the portfolio now because it's been absolutely annihilated. General Motors is a small piece now. I've sold most of it. I've got that Hive blockchain. We talked about that. That's down now. I actually sold half of it, thank goodness, when it over doubled. So I'm kind of playing with the house's money, but it's come down. I have a small position iRobot, which is just a speculative position. You know the JP Morgan that I just bought last week? I've got that one in there. I've got Micron, which I'm down, and I just bought that one too.
You got a lot of stocks, man.
But the names in there, I don't mind. Like, there's a couple of dogs in there, but for the most part, like, the majority of the money's in, like, pretty solid companies. Qualcomm still in there and the House of Mouse. So that's pretty much. I got a couple of preferred stocks too, but those are boring, so I don't know about those.
No.
So yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
That's my long-term portfolio. What am I missing? Am I diversified? Aren't I supposed to ask that and you're supposed to answer?
Well,
am I diversified?
Because you do own some of the international stuff, which you're not supposed to because it underperforms so much, but yeah, you own international, which makes you, you own all stock. Well, no, you don't even own all stocks because you own Ethereum too. So,
But the Ethereum is,
you've got multiple.
What's the Ethereum? Ethereum is 1.04% of the portfolio the one portfolio because I have two accounts. So when you look at the other one, then it's like, you know, a fraction of a percent.
I don't know. I would check, you know, think about geography, think about market cap size, large, mid, small, but it seems, think about sectors.
Yeah.
Seems a diverse.
Here's stock. A question from Pedro. Is it better to hold all those stocks or just buy SPY QQQ? Probably better just to buy SPY or QQQ, but this is more fun. This is fine.
Yeah,
SPY QQQ isn't
right?
as fun. That's the only reason. It's kind of more fun because I told you I own so many stocks. When the market's up 1%, my account's kind of up 1%. When the market's down 1%, my account's down 1%. So you're absolutely right. If you want to just go the old fashioned way, I probably should just own SPY QQQ, but it's not as fun.
Okay, wait. What kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that goes to Subway and orders one of their specials, or do you make your own sandwich? Dennis is the guy that makes his own sandwich. He's customizing and what
I
he
went to sandwich
and,
school
and what he ends up with. I'll repeat because I guess we froze on YouTube. What I just said was what kind of a person are you? Are you the kind of person that goes to Subway and customizes everything, or do you just order one of the specials on the menu? Because Dennis orders, he customizes everything, but he ends up with something that's more or less what was already on the menu, right? So it just depends what kind of person you are. But I prefer to order what is already up there. Hence why I like the ETFs. Let's go to back to the individual stocks here. So many earnings reports. Last night, this morning, tonight. Facebook is the big one today. Facebook and Facebook, Qualcomm, and PayPal all report tonight. Those are your big ones. I don't know, Joel, if you want to bring up
Meta
for us here.
I mean, it got killed off its last report. I mean, what, it took out support? It's down another 7 sticks today? Is that just off the Google report?
Well, it's kind of with the overall market, though, is it not? I mean,
well, the market's up. The spoons are up. This is down
4%. Oh! It was last night. Yeah, it was off of. It was off
the Google. Wow! 150. Get your bids out there. Maybe not 150, but get your bids out there at 151. 150.83 is your next monthly low.
Okay.
I have. And full disclosure, I have a little bit of Facebook in my kids' RESP. I guess I didn't. I went through my stuff, but I didn't go through my RESP. So I do have a little bit of Facebook. I guess my kid does. And they're bag holding.
Your kids have,
because they just bought it about a month ago.
Yeah. The kids have diamond hands. Let's go to
the kids have diamond hands. The kids have never sold anything before, I don't think. I've had that RESP. I don't think I've ever sold anything out of their account.
Not a loss till you sell. Let's go to
their diamond hands.
Let's go to Visa. Visa reported last night. EPS beat $1.79 versus $1.65. Sales also beat $7.2 billion versus $6.8 billion estimate. Look at Visa this morning.
215. Yeah. Wow.
I have MasterCard too. I would say on both these stocks. If I didn't want to realize the gain in MasterCard, but I'd sell it. Yeah. I'd sell Visa too into this. I mean, this is the marquee. Sell the rip.
That's a big move. 213.35. We're up there. We're hanging in there. If 213.35 is not good for you, then 216.56 better be, because that was your high on the 22nd. And that's it. Coming back on the downside, top of yesterday's range, could be support at 208.56.
What? Let's go to GM now. That was the other big one from last night, right? General Motors.
Bag holding that.
EPS beat, sales missed a little bit there. They gave guidance, EPS guidance for this fiscal year. That was... there's a very big range, and the estimate was right in the middle of that range. So we'll call it in line. They said there is still volatility in the semiconductor supply chain. They expect supply chain problems despite supply chain problems, they expect to make 25 to 30% more cars this year than they did last year. Talked about their reservations for their specific trucks. I don't know. These trucks are getting so expensive that I can't imagine. I feel like if we get to a point where we do go into a recession and people start pull back on their spending, trucks are going to be the first to go, right?
We just had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah. All right, fine.
This is the exact conversation. I'm with you, man. This is why I sold my Ford and sold 2/3 of my GM position. I kept a little bit just in case I'm wrong. But I think talking against my book here again, I think there's bad times ahead for all the automakers, because this is a luxury to buy a new vehicle. And I think people aren't going to have the money to buy new vehicles. And I think people are looking at this and saying, I don't want to pay $90,000 for pickup. We already went through this conversation. So demand destruction right there. Automotives. I don't want to own really any of them.
37.60. It did break that in the after hours trading. It's still holding up. That's the only thing you're leaning on here. It's up 26 cents. You did have some pops. They've been sold. So if you think that the low of the move is in, you're risking 60-70 cents. After that, you probably have a date with 34.23 is my next monthly support. I mean, you're not going straight there.
There is an EV story coming, but there's a recession coming first. That's
you know what, Dennis? How about I just want to move away here for a second, but So then you should be super bearish Tesla because they're expensive cars. Yeah,
I've been super bearish Tesla forever, but it's been wrong. I've never got on the Tesla bull train. I've been wrong about Tesla since birth. Actually, not true, because when everybody was saying it's going under, I had puts written on it. So I did profit from the initial run. I remember I had the 100 puts, which would be after the 5 for 1s, it'd be equivalent of 20 puts. Me and Jeremy Newsom were short all those puts, just saying, eventually, I think the stock is not, I don't think it's going to zero. So that was the non-bankruptcy bet, and that worked. But I did not foresee 1,000% up move in Tesla. No. So you have been absolutely correct. You're in Tesla still. Have you sold any Tesla?
It's just a small.
It's like got to be not small anymore.
I don't sell.
It started small. It went up 1,000%.
I don't sell. Unfortunately,
don't sell. Except don't Twitter. Sell. You sold Twitter.
I did. Because I just don't like the price action and the risk reward right now. I've had it forever. I've been looking for. I sold a good chunk at 55 before it dropped, and then it dropped, and I had the old regret, and then it came back up, and I don't know. The deal's going through. I don't know why the deal wouldn't go through, right? But man, these risk arbs are not. They're not stupid, and
no, they're not.
I don't know what, if Tesla goes to 750, does he still want to do the deal? Or 700?
There's $1 billion. Got to pay $1 billion if you get out. That's a drop in the bucket for Musk.
Yeah, that's
there's
not,
lots
mean,
of outs. There's always an out. Here's the difference between Musk buying Twitter and some company doing due diligence and analyzing the financials for months before pulling the trigger. There's been not a lot of due diligence here. He decides he starts buying Twitter, and then he's like, why don't I just buy the whole company? I mean, this is his thought process. I highly doubt. So he might come across something he doesn't like, and he could potentially pull the deal. He might just wake up and change his mind, and there'll be a way to get out of it. Don't kid yourself. Lawyers can get you out of these deals, so don't think anything is firm.
You pay the, $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. And pay $1 billion instead of $44 billion. So if everything starts collapsing and stuff around and he's like, I don't know, and Tesla stock's going down, I feel a little bit strapped. Maybe this was a bad decision. He could pull this deal. And the risk arbs are pricing that in. And that's why there's an 8-9% discount on this. Some of it the time value of money, but mostly just because it's Musk. And this is a little bit of a wild card and an unknown. If the deal goes through, you get $54.20. If the deal doesn't go through, Twitter stock will be under $30. That is where I will say it will go. Yeah. So I'd be scared. I don't think that 9% upside is worth it. I don't think it's worth the risk.
Yeah. I this is the part where I disclosed that I bought a little bit of Twitter yesterday only because, when the stock was at 51, I couldn't care less, but then it got to 50 and I thought I can make 8% here. Assuming the deal goes through, but it would be karmic justice if I.
I think there's a good chance you're going
to. If I bought it and it didn't go through, that would be karma.
Spencer, I think there's a good chance. I think there's a lot better than 50-50 chance you're going to get that 8%. I just don't know if it's like 80% chance you're going to get that 8%. And I think, when you analyze that this probably does go under 35 and maybe even under 30 if the deal doesn't go through, that's why the risk arbs are putting this discount on. So I won't argue with you. I mean, there's 8% is 8%. I do lots of risk arbitrage. This one's got me a little nervous, though.
I'm going to look today. There are a couple of these newfangled betting platforms that they would have betting markets for random stuff. I want to see if there's a market for what are the odds that this deal actually happens. I know the market is.
It's called, I think someone market. Threw said 67% in there.
67%. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. It's certainly lower than I would have hoped for.
He's unknown. He's a wild card. Very, very unknown.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just, is it no touchy for me? No touchy. Yeah.
All right, let's do a couple more here and then we'll get Rob freezing on. Let's take a look at Chipotle.
LAC. Okay, let the fine. Americas. I'm grabbing it from the chat right
there. LAC?
Yeah, because this stock has come all the way down. Like you talk about going from bliss to piss again. April 4th. Makes a new high, new 52-week high, maybe even a new all, very close to an all-time high. At least back on the charts, I don't know how far it goes back, but back a long ways.
So.
Pretty close to an all-time high. That was literally 3 weeks ago. In 3 weeks, we just went from the 52-week high, and now we're retesting you know, the not the 52-week low, but the six-month low. Amazing.
24 pullback.
Great support down here, 23 to 24. We will need lithium. We are going EV. Again, this company doesn't make money, though, so that scares me a little bit. I do own some LTHM.
Yeah, me too.
And that's coming into great support, too, at 20. So you got some stock. You got some support here for these two stocks.
Ooh.
And they got good stories, but the valuations, you know, are tough. Because it doesn't make money, a la Kramer.
Wait, I have a quick question about Visa. Is because I know we did already, but is Visa a reopening play in MasterCard?
I think so.
Are those reopening plays?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Cool. I think a little bit.
Cool. All right.
Just people just buy stuff and it's online. I mean, yeah, you can use your PayPal or your other payment methods, but I tell you, my wife's online. We use our MasterCard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Visa, MasterCard. We can talk about disruptive technology all we want. And, oh, Affirm is going to put them out of business. Well, you know what? I don't think it's the case anymore. One, no. Does the buy now, pay later model even work? Because we got to start questioning, you know, it was, you know, when the stock was like $100 and they came out and said that half of their accounts were like, wasn't it? Then they come out and say like half the accounts were behind on their payment or whatever. Or
yeah, something
like, yeah. That's craziness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're starting a business where half of your customers potentially can't pay. Sold to you.
Yeah.
All right. A cool story for a while, though.
Let's bring on today's guest, Rob Friesen from Bright Trading and from StockGods.net. Get him on the show right now. Rob, looking snazzy this morning. What's up?
I always dress up for you guys. I mean.
Well, we appreciate that.
Take my hat off to you guys. But it's. MyStockOdds.com. Let's promote that.
MyStockOdds.com. And I'm going to drop
the StockOdds.net is the database side, but if people want to actually consume and subscribe, then go to MyStockOdds.com.
I just dropped the link in all of our chats here for everyone to check it out, and it's in the description.
So you take the quantitative approach to the markets, which I take as well here, Rob. I mean, you're not a big technician. You're more looking from quantitative data to try to predict the next move here. Let's throw you under the bus here and, you know, let's try, you know, can we try? Can we throw you right under the bus here and just like, you know, let's look here under the hood and tell us what you think about the overall market, first of all.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I like it.
I like it. What? You're a buyer here? You're buying stocks here?
No, Dennis, you're getting away. He likes it because it's volatile. He doesn't like it because he thinks it's going up and down.
Now, there is a lot of disruption in today's market, a lot of factors that can mess with any quantitative approach, even stat arb to some degree, even the tightest relationships can get messed with. So, but the key is that there's been a correlation between volatility and production, volatility and how much traders generally make. And that's what I'm always excited about is when we start getting over 18, 19, 20 on the VIX, I see traders' earnings going up and up and up, and that excites me. I love when people can draw money and get paid for what they do. So I like the markets. I'm not a bull. I'm not a bear. Could really care less whether the market's up or down in a given day, especially when you have so many options to trade, you know, hedged or, you know, you can be market neutral, even macro neutral if you want. So.
Talk about, you know, and obviously a lot of people, and you get newer traders in the market, they can't understand the concept of, you know, just not having an opinion on the market. They think they're going to make a bet. They look at the market like, I'm going to come in, I'm bullish the stock, I'm going to buy it. If it goes up, I'm going to make money. If it goes down, I'm going to lose money. You know, everybody thinks you got to make calls, you know, on the market to make money. And I've said this all the time. It's fun to make calls. Yeah. It's fun to be right. But my bread and butter comes from that quantitative approach that you're taking. And I trade market neutral as well, meaning I'm unbiased. You know, I'm making individual calls on individual stocks, but I'm not trying to guess whether the stock market's going up or down in most cases.
You know, making calls are part of the human seduction. Like we like to be right. You know, especially when we argue with our wives, we like to be right. Right, Dennis?
Never right on that one.
but we also like to predict, right? And so that's the seduction of even charts is your mind tends to extrapolate what's going to happen next. And you know, I love when I can get people away from the crutch of charts and look at things based on, you know, what's the fundamental reason for a pattern or what is the subsequent performance from that pattern. When you look at this particular setup, you know, what has it done in the past every time it's done that? So I like to get people into the data side of the business. And it's not perfect. It's all probability based. But I think it's a better step towards a career. I don't have a problem with having a bias on the market, taking, you know, making a choice and say today's going to be a bullish day or a bearish day. But you have to have your if-then statements and your plan B in place, because if you want to take that bet, that's great. You can make outsized returns if you can press on a bullish day. But what happens when it fails? What happens when it's wrong? Having your hedges and not waiting till things are a disaster before your hedge, you know, that never works. There was a commercial once that played for quite a while, and it was like they're in a restaurant, and it's like the market's going down. Pause for a minute here while I make my hedging bets. Well, that's kind of too late when things are already a disaster, and then you want to hedge. Now you're going to lose money on both sides. So hedging is part of a natural progression where you have your bias, you know, you create your if-then statements, and it's like, we're on the fence, it's not working, I'll hedge, right? At that point, you have very minimal losses, if any. You know, it'd be like this. I could go, you know, say out of the gate this morning, I could take, you know, a big position in TQQQ, right? It's a triple leverage, I could hit it. If I'm wrong, right, I'm going to get cooked. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, you could have a basket of stocks that you go long and use, you know, SQQQ as a hedge right away. And if it's working, then sort of unwind it and let your stocks rip. You know, same thing with S&P 500 stocks. We're producing the top 10 list, right?
Rob, let's go into that, and let's talk about that, because stock odds, there's a lot of components to it. There's a lot of hedging, and you know, if one thing people like to get something simple, look what to buy, look what to sell. Tell us about it, and what you're working on here. I think the crowd's really going to like this.
The web screener and the API allow someone to curate both long ideas, short ideas for multiple time frames, open to close, overnight, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever, monthly. So you can go in and you can come up with 50 long ideas, 50 short ideas. And I like the balance of long and short ideas at the same time, rather than just taking a long only approach. However, many people don't short. In fact, I've had a lot of conversations recently where at some of these broker dealers, they're not being able to even get locates on XLE or locates on XLF. I mean, they can't get short any of this stuff. If you're in Europe and you're trading CFDs, well, great. You can go long short anytime you want with anything, because a contract for difference is a different kettle of fish. But you know, for equities traders, it can be tough to get the locates when you want. So there has been requests for, can you guys just produce lists of ideas for the day? And I think this is what people want, that they want to listen to this show. They listen to, you know, other talking heads because they want ideas. So here's an idea of 10 S&P stocks that have odds for the day that should, from open to close, perform adequately. If the market ripped up, the entire list would probably underperform the SPY because the SPY is highly weighted in tech, and we're using a diversified approach. So let me rattle off some of them for today, just so you have an idea, okay? So there's Abbott Labs, you know, healthcare, Dollar General, consumer discretionary, Chubb financials, IFF is international flavors, that's, and fragrances, that's materials. MasterCard is obviously information technology. Microsoft is information technology. I know it had earnings, but this is quantitatively produced, so it's not vetted. None of this is vetted. Your job, if you're subscribing to the list, is to vet and say, you know what, I'm not willing to buy Microsoft up, you know, 3.5% or so. Maybe I'll wait for a pullback or whatever. That's your job. News Corp A, communications. PXD is Pioneer Natural Resources, that's energy. SRE is Sempra Energy, but that's actually in the utilities category in the sector. CSX is industrials. So we have 9 out of 11 sectors represented. Sometimes it'll be 7 out of 11. Sometimes it'll be, we go to a maximum of 4 per sector, but usually it's quite broad. It's and again, it's derived from the stats, and there's no human vetting going on. Does that make sense?
So how do you, like, okay, you listed off those 11 names. Where do those come from?
Well, that's
Rob?
10
like,
names, yeah.
Yeah, those 10 names. You've listed off those 10 names. Where do those come from? Like, what quantitative inputs are coming out to give you those outputs of those names?
That's a great question. So what it is what it has done in the past. Every time it's fallen into a bin from a signal. So let's give you an example. If somebody likes RSI and they're a frequent trader, so they might use an RSI 2 rather than a 14, or they like Bollinger Bands and its proximity to the Bollinger Band, percent B, and it's fallen to the lower Bollinger Band or the upper Bollinger Band. So every time it's done that, it's fallen into that statistical bin of that indicator, RSI, percent B, momentum, CCI, whatever the indicator is, what has happened in the subsequent time frame of open to close? So I'll give you an example. If Chubb moved yesterday from open to close and had a particular performance, what happens the next day open to close on average? That's one part of it. If it fell into an RSI of say 20, what happens every time it's done that in the past? What happens the next day open to close? So we're trying to give you granular ideas like, here's a list of things that are, you know, statistically derived that can perform for the day, no guarantees. But you can then look at the list and go, you know what, that one is pretty good. That falls into what sector I would like to trade. And then you have your hedges. You know, if you're trading healthcare, you can use XLV. If you're trading Chubb, you know, you could use XLF, things like that. Now, again, there can be problems with the locates on even ETFs. If you want, you can do this. You say, how much, just sort of broad S&P are there, not sort of sensitive to technology. And then you could hedge with SDS. It's or SH. Those are the inverse, 1X SH. 2X is SDS. So you could buy the list and then buy your hedge at the same time. So the argument would be, will the list outperform the hedge? Okay. If you have some technology in there, maybe we have an exposure of 4 technology stocks, let's say, then you could use your SQQQ, which is a triple. It doesn't take much capital then to cover those technology stocks. And again, you'd be hedged. And the beautiful thing is, you could trade around a core position, meaning that you've got your long basket on, and then you can change your weightings of your hedges based on the volatility of the market. You know, if we have a big move down, the stocks will probably all go down. You know, on average, most of them would go with the market, and hopefully they perform better than the market. And then, you know, your hedge has performed really well, and maybe you want to lighten up a bit of your hedge, let the stocks come back, reestablish a bit of your hedge. You know, with these rolls that we're getting in the market when the, you know, VIX is over 25, I mean, it's amazing during the day. So changing your weightings of your hedge can really help your performance.
How do we get the list? Like, so you've talked about this list. How do we, where do we go? Like, we go My Stock Odds, bring us to the list. Can we show it?
Spencer,
yeah, it's right at the top there. Like,
can you just show it,
mystockodds.com, it says,
Spencer can take over and show it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hit My Stock Odds, it's right at the top, says top 10 list. So we're going, because of the requests that we've had and the challenges that people have, like if you're very sophisticated, you're coming from a desk already, you're probably well suited for, going to the web screener and using the API and curating a lot of ideas for yourself. Right. And so if you're fairly new or you're struggling with that education process, you know, subscribing to this list can be a good starting point.
Is there a cost, Rob, to subscribe to the list?
Yeah, it's about $1 a day on average for these things. So less than a cup of coffee a day for sure. Well, with inflation, we don't know, right?
Huh. Okay.
There's going to be lots of, we're having, this is our S&P 500 list. Then we have coming out soon will be our NASDAQ 100 list. And then our Russell 2000 top 20 list for the Russell 2000. And then we have the best divergence from seasonality list. And then we have other sort of research lists that you can have where there's a lot of ideas presented, but you have to kind of cull through them and select them. But I think even if we take the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100, and the Russell 2000 lists, that's going to arm you guys with a tremendous amount of information, you know, for this starting point. So basically the way to use it is take Chubb, for example, odds are 64.06 of performing at an average of positive 0.405%. So that's the average that has occurred after Chubb has had the event that it had yesterday. Okay. Microsoft, you know, is already beating the performance in terms of gapping up. So, and it's had earnings. But it had odds today. And again, Stock Odds did not know in the data that Microsoft has earnings last night after the close. It doesn't know that. But it knows how it performed yesterday. And it says, based on that, today is an up day. Odds are 64.08 for an up move. And again, performance is the average, 0.354. It's already exceeding that on a gap basis. But now, once it opens, will it continue to climb? That's what Stock Odds is saying from the open, that it still has that potential to go up. But again, it's not a guarantee.
And what time's the list available to people that
We're guaranteeing it 2 hours before the open, but it's usually done at around 1 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, that's when it's usually done. Again, it's not vetted. You need to say, you know, I'm interested or not interested in taking any of the stocks on the list. They're for ideas. They're for you to have a plan B in terms of hedging. But here's the beautiful thing. Dennis knows me. Okay. Joel, you know me. You know that I like long and short ideas at the same time, all the time. Right?
Yeah.
this is for people to, you know, be able to start to enter this world of statistically driven data, to have something that's easy and simple to say, here's the long only stocks for today. And it's your responsibility to vet and to hedge if you want to. Because here's an example. Yesterday, the list was down about the same as the S&P 500. Okay, so the entire list as a group was down at the same. Okay, I'd like the list to slightly beat the S&P no matter what it does so that you have alpha. But if you hedged, right, depending on which instruments you use to hedge, you were either break even or positive. So imagine this. If we could take 20 trading days in the month, and if the market was up huge, open to close, you probably underperform on those days. If the market's down huge, you know, you break even or you might beat based with what hedging you choose. And for the choppy days, you perform better than the market. So the goal is to help people not get absolutely shellacked on the bad days, and that generally comes through hedging. So,
and we're going to go over this at 10:30, Rob. Okay. Rob and I every day at 10:30 a.m. Do a pre-market prep with stock odds, and we'll go over the ones for today, Rob, and see how they performed in the market. But what I think it's good is it gets people to look at both sides of the markets. And I think one thing in this current market environment, to be able, if you know, to have longevity, to be able to look at both sides of the markets and look at the probabilities and stuff, I think, especially in this market, if we ever go to a super prolonged bear market, you know, it would be really useful. So,
can I throw out another thing? We're also coming out with sympathy based lists. Sympathy Trader is one of our other entities that is producing some things for you guys shortly here. It'll be available as, again, a web screener and API, so you can use it. But just to give you an example, based on how much Google is down from close to open, and based on how much Microsoft is up close to open, the sympathy product is saying that Qualcomm, for example, has a good score. Odds are favorable. Average performance for the Microsoft relationship is 2.48%. For the Google relationship is 1.92%. So basically, from open to close today, roughly 2% or more performance on Qualcomm because of that relationship with both of those stocks. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a, you know, overlap in terms of business or this or that. It's just saying that on average, when these stocks move, when Google moves down, Qualcomm moves up. When Microsoft moves up, Qualcomm moves up. There are other stocks like Teams that Microsoft is sympathy to and things like that. So that would be a great product for you guys, both on the list generation that we'll have, as well as your ability to curate the database for yourself. Because, I mean, that's really our goal, is to help produce career traders, people that can use the data for themselves. But it's a great way to get started. Just, you know, here's a list, here's some ideas.
So I dropped the link to the list in the chat. It's also in the description of this video. Rob, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Rob.
Love you guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Let's look at Spotify real fast.
Yeah, what's going on with Spotify?
Yeah, let this be a warning for everyone that, and actually Microsoft, it was the exact same way. We talked about that already, right? Earnings report can come out. A stock can do one thing, and then on the conference call, it can do something completely different, okay? Because they can give more news, more color on the conference call that was not in the earnings report. That appears to have been the case with Spotify this morning, because the earnings were out a couple hours ago, but the conference call is going on right now. I'm guessing they gave some guidance on the call, either as it pertains to the impact from the war in Ukraine or otherwise, because there's no other reason why the stock would fall, you know, $10 in the span of a couple of minutes while the call is ongoing. So for what it's worth, the earnings, I'll give you those. They were fine. EPS beat, sales beat, monthly active users came in above estimates. No impact. If you guys can think all the way back to a couple months ago to that whole Joe Rogan controversy, there was no impact from that on the business at all, as I had kind of expected. But it appears that they're giving guidance on the call. The market does not like that.
I mean, the company doesn't make money. I mean, Cramer, you know, we can love him and hate him. He's been saying this for a while. Right now, this market doesn't like companies that don't make money. He's absolutely correct. I mean, you keep seeing the stocks that are getting hammered every single day, and it's the companies with nosebleed PEs or that are unprofitable. And I don't know when Spotify is projected to make money, but it used to just be, oh, grow the top line in the market where we reward you. We saw that for years, and that is not the case in 2022. It's now show me the money, or I'm going to show myself the exit. And I mean, if you're in these stocks, these nosebleed PEs, and saying, well, how low can it go? They can go a lot lower.
All-time low, 103.26. Yeah, right there. And we did dip under 100. So, all right, I'm going to hop on.
Golden rule, too. Golden rule. When stocks are making new all-time lows, you got to go.
Before you go,
I have
a quick announcement. I've forgotten to do this like 3 days in a row. It's pissing me off. So I want to say this now. I haven't mentioned this on the show yet, but a couple weeks ago, an old friend of Benzinga, of Premarket Prep, Alan Brockstein, was in a bicycle accident. He's got a GoFundMe page now. I'm going to drop the link to the page in the chat right now. This happened a couple weeks ago. I only discovered.
Is he okay?
He's in the hospital.
Oh my gosh!
And so I just dropped the link to his GoFundMe. I didn't know about this GoFundMe until this week. So
we love Alan.
We love Alan Brockstein. He was in a rather serious bicycle accident. So I just put the link to his GoFundMe in the chat. If you want to donate, you know, obviously that it's your prerogative to do so, but I want to put it out there because he's a longtime friend of the show and a friend of Benzinga, and we are certainly wishing him a speedy recovery. But bicycle accidents, I mean, can be very serious, as you anyone knows. You ride a bike. I mean, those things move fast. So
wow.
So there's the link again to the Alan's GoFundMe page.
Yeah, help us out and get better, Alan, real soon.
For sure. Guy is probably, not probably, for my money, he's the best cannabis analyst there is on the street.
Yes, he is.
So we'll keep you informed if I know more, but I'm sure he would appreciate some well wishes on Twitter and the like. And I forgot to do that yesterday, and I really upset myself. So I'm putting it in there now. On that positive note, that is our show for the day. We were not able to cover nearly as many tickers as I would have hoped for. So what I'm going to do is go on over to live trading with Ryan Zunaid. Mitch is still out for the day, so I'll be subbing in for him there. And we're going to cover – I'm going to run through like – I'm just going to rip them, man. I'm just going to rip like through every single earnings report. Going to go over the top line, the bottom line, and the initial reactions. And I'm going to do that coming up right now because we covered like 8 stocks today and there was like 100 stocks reporting. So if you haven't already, do me a solid and smash that like. I'd appreciate it. And I'll see you guys over on Live Trading with Benzinga starting in a couple minutes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.